Hello everyone online, this is Stuart and Jody once again. Welcome to this time of worship together. And before we start, let's pray. Lord, as we read your word, as we reflect upon it, and as we pray together, we pray that your spirit would empower us and that you would minister to each person listening to this recording online. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Jody is going to do the reading, which this week is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, starting at verse 35 and through to chapter 10, verse 8.
Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus called his 12 disciples to him, and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give.
Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would blow through these words of scripture and through my reflections and meditations, that you would minister to each person that hears online, that they would hear a living word from you, through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we look out at Northampton and Malton, where we live, or if you're listening to this from another part of the world or part of the UK, do we think, like Jesus, that the harvest is plentiful? There is certainly a big harvest field, a big mission field in our own context here in the UK, in Northampton. Perhaps only 5% of the general population would be committed Christians who go regularly to church and follow Jesus. So that means we have a 95% target audience. But are they ready for harvesting? Are we expecting to reap where we haven't sown? Our culture is quite secular, quite post-Christian. Many people see the church as an out-of-date institution, see Christianity as having tried and failed. We have very hard ground on which to work. It is harder to share the gospel here in the UK than it is in Africa and Asia and Latin America, where people are more open to spiritual reality and to talking about God and faith. Here, a lot of stones need to be removed from the ground. The ground needs to be prepared before seed can be sown upon it. The ground needs to be broken up, and this takes time. Maybe the crisis and the difficulties we've been going down through with lockdown and the coronavirus. Maybe that has helped to prepare the ground in the general population. Maybe it's shaken people up a bit, making people question what they build their foundations of their life upon. Certainly not the economy in the present, where we see a 20% fall in the GDP, the gross domestic product, for the month of April. And we know that difficult times lay ahead. We cannot put our trust in the economy, put our trust in money. There has to be something which has deeper foundations. People may be more open now, and in the coming months and years, after having been brought face to face with their own mortality, maybe people might be more open to talking about God and faith and Jesus. And one small way that we are trying to do this during this period where we cannot gather together in church to worship is to do an Alpha course online. And that starts this coming Wednesday on the 17th of June. So it's not too late to register. You can look up the website for information for that and send us an email and we can send you information about that. Or you can phone me if you want more information. But not just Alpha. All of us have responsibility to be witnesses who point people to Jesus. Not all are evangelists, but all of us are witnesses. And what does a witness do? If you think about it in the context of a court case, a witness gives evidence. And we are to give evidence to people of what Christ has done in our life, how he's offered us love and forgiveness and purpose and meaning. In the reading that Jody read in verse 37, it says, the harvest is plentiful. But Jesus also says that the workers are few. How true. True then when there was just a handful of disciples, and true today. How few we are in comparison with the vast majority of our population who are not disciples of Jesus. And as we look at it in the context of our own small congregation here, how few are the workers in this congregation? Those who do the work. Are you a worker or just a consumer? Do you, or rather did you, come to church just to sit in the pew and receive? Or did you come to play your part, to serve? Now, age is not an excuse. We can still serve when we are older. We can still pray. We can still give. We can still encourage, we can still be involved in different ways, even if we can't manage the heavy lifting of more physical tasks that we could when we were younger. Use this opportunity when you have more time at home to think about how you can serve, how you can be a worker, now in the circumstances we find ourselves, but also when we open up and gather again in the coming weeks and months. What was Jesus's solution to the lack of workers? We see in verse 38 when he says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So Jesus said, ask the Lord, ask God to send out workers into his harvest field. The answer to that prayer is the 12 disciples or the 12 apostles. They are called, sent out and given authority in Jesus' name to drive out demons and to heal and to preach and to proclaim the good news. In verse 2, it calls them apostles, the 12 apostles. And the word apostle is one who is sent. If we pray like the 12 for more workers to be sent out into the harvest field, we may find ourselves becoming part of the answer to our own prayers. Are we prepared for that? When we pray for others to come to know Jesus, we may find God nudging us to share our faith with them and giving us opportunities to do so. We need to take risks to invite people to Alpha courses or invite people to explore the Christian faith. I find it quite difficult to ask people to come on Alpha courses because I feel sometimes they might think I'm only friends with them because I want them to become a Christian. But I've been pleasantly surprised at the responses when I've asked people to come on the Alpha course. I've had quite a few positive responses. And it's been an encouragement to me. Perhaps like me, you feel a bit reticent or a bit fearful at asking people in case they turn you down or think you have ulterior motives. But I would encourage you to do that. It's not just my job. I know I get paid to be a minister, but I'm not the only one who's called to be a witness or even an evangelist. We are called, each of us, to point people to Jesus. We are called to play our part in God's mission. It's not our mission, it's God. God's at work and calls us to cooperate with him as he seeks to draw all people to himself. He calls us to be his co-workers with him in his mission to point people to him. As he called the first 12 disciples, look how the Christian church has grown from those 12 disciples and the others who surrounded them, from a small group into billions of people today who follow Jesus throughout the world. And he calls us likewise to be sent out like the apostles to bring his good news to all people. Are you willing to be part of that mission, God's mission? We perhaps have to ask ourselves what our motivation is for doing this. Why do we want people to come and know God's love and forgiveness in Christ? I think our motivation should be the same as the motivation of Jesus when we see in verse 36 of chapter 9, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus had compassion for the people who were gathering there, for the poor and the oppressed who were exploited by their own leaders and by the Romans and by people who looked lost and didn't have any purpose or meaning in their lives. He was moved by compassion when he saw the people. And we need to ask God to give us the same compassion. The word in Greek that talks about compassion here is a very sort of visceral word that means he was moved in his guts. His guts moved with compassion, with pain, with emotion for the people, for the poor, for the lost. And we should pray that we can experience that same compassion that Jesus had for people, so that we feel that same compassion for the poor and the lost, and we can point them to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, in whom they can find peace and love and forgiveness and purpose. And then they likewise don't just remain consumers of that or recipients of that forgiveness and love. They also are called to become workers in the harvest field, drawing others to Jesus as a multiplication effect. When we experience the love and forgiveness of Jesus, we likewise are sent out to others so that they can experience that love and forgiveness for themselves. Do you want to become like one of the 12 apostles, a worker in the harvest field? If so, honestly pray to God that he would send out workers into the harvest field. But be prepared to become part of the answer to your own prayers and do your bit with God to bring in a harvest of people. Because if you pray for these things, then God will point his finger at you and say, well, what are you going to do about it? You can't just expect me to do everything or other people to do everything. You also are part of the answer to your own prayers. But we know ultimately that God's purposes, God's kingdom will be triumphant, that ultimately God's love will win, and God seeks to win back every single human being, and God is continually pouring out his love and appealing to people in and through us and others that we may be reconciled to him. And we know that ultimately God's purposes will win, that love will win, because love, God's love, is bigger than anything in its way. And we are called to join the winning side and point people to Jesus, in whom they find victory and love and forgiveness. Let us pray. Father, forgive us when we've just been consumers of your grace and not workers in your harvest field. Send us out with your love. Help us to be your voice, speaking to people of the forgiveness that is available to each person in Christ. Help us with our stumbling attempts to invite people to explore your love, to invite people on the Alpha course, to invite people to enter into a relationship with you, who's always desiring everyone to come into a conscious and living relationship with you through Christ. Help us to play our part in this time of lockdown and in the coming weeks and months as we open up and we face our own fears about contamination and what the future holds. Help us to go forward with you and point people who have their fears at the moment to you. And in you, they can find the strength and purpose and meaning that life has when they know they're loved and forgiven by you in and through Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I'd like to introduce you now to Stuart Jenkins, a member of our congregation, who's also a mental health chaplain at St Andrew's Hospital in Northampton. And he's going to lead us in some of our prayers of intercession. So let us pray.
I'm sitting in the chapel of St Andrew's Hospital. It's very quiet. The doors are locked. I'll be sitting here again on Sunday morning with the doors unlocked, and maybe a few patients will call by to talk or sit quietly for a few minutes. No hymns, no service as such, just the drop-in for those that wish. I'm here to record the prayers for Carey this Sunday. The world moves very fast these days, and I wonder what might happen between now and Sunday morning. Will there be major news that we should be praying about? Well, I won't be able to guess what it is. I will have to go on the basis of what seems important right now. A patient is leaving next week after many years here. She's been a regular in the chapel. Asked to put down something of her story about her spirituality and her mental health, she wrote about arriving from Jamaica at Liverpool docks. Her mum, who had come ahead to find work and somewhere to live, met her and brought her to her new home. Not much was said on the journey, she remembers. Arriving at the house, she asked her mum if they could go to church. They don't have black people in the churches here, she was told. We are not welcome. So, God, I've been thinking about black people here and in America, about Edward Colston in my hometown of Bristol, the statue that the Victorians put up now lying in the harbour. I've been thinking about the teenage girl who probably hadn't seen her mum or dad for a year, coming over the Atlantic on the ship by herself. She wouldn't have expected life in a new country to be easy, but she must have been hopeful. A lifetime later, she is hopeful again as she moves into the community. I pray that this new hope may not be dashed. May she find a welcome, friendly faces in the shops, a church where they are pleased to see her, safety and belonging. May your daughter be blessed. I feel proud of the cheering people in Bristol who took the statue of Colston down and threw it in the docks. I know that some people are very scared when others act outside the law, and I know we need laws and need them to be followed. Anti-discrimination laws, laws protecting property and life, laws ensuring fairness and accountability. But I also know that sometimes laws are not enough. We need to change minds. I know that there has been a campaign for more than 20 years to move the Colston statue, or at least to rewrite its plaque, and that this has been frustrated. God of law, are you also a God of hearts? I think of your friend William Carey, who was born 40 years after Colston died, and who himself died 60 years before the statue, describing this slaver as a virtuous and wise man, was erected. Would he have talked about due process? Or would he have cheered that something at last was being done? He would probably mainly just be horrified at how little we have advanced. I pray for my black sisters and brothers, for my brown ones and all the rest. I pray for a world that believes it is possible to change, that never gives in to cynicism, for a world that listens and learns, that usually takes care but sometimes takes risks. I pray for a world that can handle challenge and can work with the moments when great feeling rises up and people shout or sing or march. God of the years wandering in the desert, of Jesus on the road to Jerusalem, the road of palm branches, the road of tears, you must be at home in a world of protests and placards. Help us learn again how to be one, how to work together, how to be safe and to belong, how to be blessed and a blessing. Amen.
Thank you, Stuart, for leading us in our prayers and reflections. And thank you for all of you who have listened online to this sermon, to this time of worship. Now close with a blessing. Go now into God's world, God's harvest field, with love and peace and joy and hope in your hearts. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen. Thank you for joining us online, and hopefully catch up with you again next week. Go well, and God bless.